The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shlach Lecho. The Torah tells us a story. Vayidaber Hashem l'Moshe le'emor. Hashem said to Moshe, Shlach lecho anoshim, send for yourselves men, yosu es v'yosuru es eretz Kenan, in order that they can spy out the land of Canaan, asher ani nesein libnei Yisrael, which I am giving to the Bnei Yisrael, ishechod ishechod lemate avesov tishlochu kol nosi vohem. Every shevet, every tribe, the nosi, the prince, should send one person. Vayishlach esom Meshe mimidbar Poron al pi Hashem, and Meshe sent him from the desert of Poron, which was on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, in accordance to Hashem. Kulam anoshim roshi v'nei Yisrael heima, they were all great men of stature, the heads of Yisrael. And then the Torah tells us the names. Then Moshe instructed them what to look for, see if the cities are fortified, or if they're not, what kind of people are living there, what kind of land is it a good fertile land, a fat land, are there trees, and so forth, and bring back samples of the fruit of the land. And they went and they circled the entire land for 40 days. After 40 days they returned and they came to Moshe Aaron and Kol Hadas B'nei Yisrael, the entire congregation, and they said, Bonu El Oretz Asher Shelachtonu, we came to the land which you sent us, V'gam Zovas Chol Vashi, and it is true, the land of flowing milk and honey, Zepir Yor, and they brought back its magnificent fruit. Ephes, however, the nations that live there are fierce, and the cities are fortified to the skies, and the giants live there, and Amalek lives there, and the Chittim and the Yevusim, and it's a land which we cannot conquer. And then Kolev and Yeshua, two of the spies, hushed them up, and they said, no, it is a wonderful land, we can conquer it. Vayetziu dibaso oretz. And the others slandered the land, and they say that it is a land which consumes its inhabitants. And there we saw great, gigantic people, and we were in their eyes like grasshoppers, and so forth and so on. And when the nation heard this, that night, Vayivkor Balailahu, that night they wept, and they came, and they complained to Moshe and Aaron, and they said, why did you take us out of Egypt? It would have been better we remained in Egypt, to die there than to die here in the desert, or that we should be destroyed in this land. And then one said to the other, Nit noreish v'nashuva mitzroima, let us rebel against Moshe and make for ourselves new leaders, and we will go back to Egypt. Yeshua and Kolev, though, however, said that it is Tova Oretz Mi'od Mi'od. It is a wonderful, beautiful land. Im Chofetz Bono Hashem. Hashem wants it. We can conquer it. Ach b'Hashem al timreidu, do not rebel against Hashem, do not rebel against Moshe. And they wanted to stone them. This is the story in brief. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened, and he said that for how long will this nation anger me, but onda le'aminu li, and for how long will this nation not believe in me, b'chol ha'esis asher asisi b'kirbay, after all of these wonders which I have done amongst them, let me destroy them, and I'll make a new nation from you, Mesha. And Mesha intervened, and finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, all right, I will not destroy them, but Bamidbar Hazeh Yiplu Tigreichem, but this generation will die in the desert. They don't want the land, they do not believe in me, they will not have the land. And the nation, the children, which they said will be end up as spoils, they will go into the land. Because this is the 10th time they have tested me by Inasu Aisize Eser Pomim, and they have not listened to my voice, and therefore that they went and they spied out the land for 40 days, for every day that they spied out the land they will spend a year in the desert, and they will wander in this desert for 40 years until this generation, all of those who were over 20, will all die by the age of 60, before they reach 60. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately killed the Vayamusu Anoshim Meitziya Dibas Oretz, those who slandered the land, and Yeshua and Kaleb and Yefuneh were to inherit their portion. Now this story needs a little background. Klal Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt, on the 15th of Nisan. And they came to Midbar Sinai, the desert of Sinai, Eitz Lahor, next to Har Sinai. 6 weeks later, as it states in Parshas Yisrael, that on Reish Chedesh, the beginning of Chedesh HaShlishi, the beginning of Sivan, they came to Midbar Sinai. So there were 2 weeks in Nisan, 4 weeks in Iyar. There, they were to receive the Torah 6 days later, but they remained there for a full year, less 10 days, to celebrate the Simchas HaTorah. Just like a chosen gets married to the kala, so they are supposed to celebrate for Shona Tamima for a full year. Here also was a chosen and a kala, a Kodesh Baruch Hu in Israel. So they stayed near the mountain for a full year, less 10 days. And this was the celebration of Simchas Torah. In Parshas Baal Eisecho, in Perek Yud, Posuk Yud Aleph, it states, Vayhi b'shona ha'shenis b'chedish ha'sheni b'esrim b'chodesh. It was in the second year, in the second month. That was year of the following year, in the 20th of the month. And another 10 days, it would have been again Reish Chedesh Sivan, and it would have been a full year. So it says, Naleho Onan, the cloud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lifted, which was the sign that they were to start to journey. And there in Baal Eisecho and Posechov Tes, it states, Vayeh Meshe Lecheivev, Meshe said to Yisro, Nosim Anachnu El Amokam, Asher Omar Hashem, we are going now to the place which Hashem has promised to give to us. Vayisu Mehar Hashem Derech Shleishish Yomim, and they traveled from the mountain of Hashem a distance, they started to travel a distance of three days. Rashi explains that Meshe told Yisro that miyad ad gimel yomim onu nichnosin lo oretz, that within 3 days we are entering into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore do not leave us, come with us to Israel. And this was b'masezeh horishayim nosu, this was the first of all of the masos. We have later on at the end of this sefer, Bamidbor, Mateis and Masos, Masay,
where all of the masses, all of the travels are listed during the 40 years in the desert. This was the first nesia, the first journey after they reached Sinai and were given the Torah. And in this first journey, Nosu al-Manas likones le'Eretz Yisrael, they were due to go into Eretz Yisrael. So it comes out they left Egypt. 6 weeks they came to the Eitz Lahor on the Reish Chodesh Sivan. They stayed there for a full year, less 10 days, till the following 20th of the Iyar. And then they were going on a 3-day journey to enter into Eretz Yisrael, which was the first of their journeys. And Moshe told Chevev Yisrael, come with us because we are now going into Eretz Yisrael. So it was really a very, very short trip. 6 weeks out of Egypt. They were by Har Sinai. There they celebrated for a year, less 10 days. And then 3-day journey into Eretz Yisrael and finished. Now really it was even less, because Rashi tells us there, Derech Shleishish Yomim, they went on a journey of 3 days, Mahalach Gimel Yomim Holchu B'Yom Aleph. That 3-day journey, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it a miracle where it took them only 1 day. Shehoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chomfeitz Lach Nisom La'Eretz Miyad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to come into Eretz Yisrael so quickly that even that short 3-day journey only took them 1 day. And that brought them here to where we are now, where it states that they were Elish Maisa Anoshim, that they were here in Midbar Poron on the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Now this was when they were leaving. They were leaving Sinai, and Moshe told Yisro, come with us. Now, a few things happened along the way. Parshas Baaleishecho, it tells us there was the hate of the Mis'einanim. Those were those who wanted to find a tu'una, a lila. They wanted to find excuses, alibis, artificial reasons to complain. And they started to complain against Moshe. What did they complain? Rashi brings, Ei lonu kamo lofteinu baderech hazeh gimel yomim shalein nochnu b'inu haderech. He said that the journey is too long. They were referring to the 3-day journey that they were supposed to take, which in reality took them 1 day. And they said, how long will we have to travel for? We're always traveling. That angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he punished them. That consumed some time. Then following that, we had Ha'afsuf, Asher Bikirba Hisave Tavo. This was the eight of Rav amongst them, the multitudes that were amongst them. They said, Miyacheleno Bosor. We never had meat to eat, and so forth and so on. We spoke about this, I believe it was last week's shir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them the slov. He brought them the quails for a month to eat, and then punished them. That consumed more time. Then immediately following that was what we had just learned at the end of last week's parsha, that Miriam spoke against Moshe, and she was stricken with tzaras. And it states, Vatisoger Miriam mechutz lamachane shiva shomim. She had to go out of the camp for 7 days. Ad Miriam, and the nation did not move until she was able to come back into the camp in her honor. So that took another week. These few episodes consumed approximately 40 days, which would bring us from the 20th of Iyar, and then they reached the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. The journey was going to take them 1 day, which took us for the next 10 days in Iyar and the entire month of Sivan. The Gemara Masech Tainus and Daf Chof Tes says, therefore, they reached the border of Eretz Yisrael, or this parsha takes place on the 29th of Sivan, or Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz. So we have where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it very short and sweet. 6 weeks out of Egypt to Har Sinai. Another week we received the Torah. Excuse me, could someone close that window back there? I see it's causing a draft for the women. 6 weeks out of Egypt to Har Sinai. Next week we receive the Torah. They stay there for almost a year, and then a 3-day journey which takes 1 day into Eretz Yisrael. But we had about 40 days of delays here because of some incidents which Klal Yisrael caused, certain people in Israel. Nevertheless, they are camping on the borders of Eretz Yisrael the 29th day of Sivan, Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz, which was a little over a year after going out of Egypt. They left Egypt the 15th of Nisan, so there would be the 15th of Iyar, the 15th of Sivan, and then 2 weeks more in Sivan. So Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz, they were ready to go in. Then the people came and they said, we want to see the land first. We want to know what we're buying. We want to know what is being given to us. So this consumed another 40 days. And this 40 days turned into 40 years. When the Meraglim returned after 40 days, so one of the psukim we read was Vayivko Am Balailahu. That evening the nation wept because they heard the terrible report of the land that they were supposed to take. That night, 40 days after Reish Chedesh Tammuz, or Erev Reish Chedesh Tammuz, the Gemara says is Tisha B'Av, because Tammuz is roughly 30 days and then Tisha B'Av is 9 days. So that was the night of Tisha B'Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are weeping for no reason whatsoever. What are you weeping for? I already told you, it's a good land, it's a wonderful land. And I told you, you will be successful in conquering the nations. I've told you 100 times. There is nothing to fear. You are weeping, atem b'chison b'chia shel chinam. You are weeping for no reason whatsoever. I take an oath that I will make this night a day of real weeping for you, for generations. And from that time was Nikbo, established the night of Tisha B'Av. From there came the decree that this nation will die in the desert after 40 years of wandering. From there the decree came that the first Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Again, the second Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed on Tisha B'Av. There will be the great exiles, the Golus of Babel, the Golus of Edom, the exile we are in now for over 2,000 years. And the Maral writes that had they gone into Eretz Yisrael immediately, we would have never had an exile, because they were all been together with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, just like the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus was irreversible. So the Kinesis Oretz, the going into the land, also would have been irreversible. But because there was a whole interruption in history, and it was a different generation, the generation that went out did not go in, then no longer was it irreversible. And this is why we've had so many tzoris and so many reverses. We see from here how a derech ketzora can become Arucha. How a short journey can be made into a very, very long journey. Further, we see that this episode of the Maraglim, together with another episode, the Egel Azov, the Golden Calf, they are the two worst tragedies that befell Klal Yisrael. And they are from the Asor and Nishenis, Nosu Abaseinu as HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bamidbar. The 10 tests which HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested our fathers in the desert, which is mentioned in the Mishnah Masechet Oves, Perikei Mishnah Dalet. And the 10th one is this one, the Maraglim, Yasiris, like it states in the Pasuk we quoted here, Yudalet Chov Beis Vayinasu Eishi Ze Eser Bomim Veleishomo Bekeli, that I have tested you for 10 times now and you have not listened to me. And on this one, the Maraglim, the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Erechim, third parak daf tes vov, shekein motzinu shelei nischatem gzardin ala veseinu bamidbor elo al loshen hora. This one here was loshen hora. So the Mishnah says we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sealed the fate of the generation that went out of Egypt only after the 10th time and only after loshen hora. And there the Mishnah and that whole Sugya, the Gemara there goes into the hate of Loshon Hara, slandering, which we have spoken about many, many times. Gemara says, if you slander Eretz Yisrael, and this is what you get. So how much more so if you slander a person? So we see that this story of the Maraglim has enormous historical significance, both then, now, and forever, and enormous historical ramifications. And there are many, many things that one should learn and what we can learn from here. This evening, I want to make mention of three very, very great principles that we can learn from here. Firstly, we see always that the shortest route is the Derech HaYosha, the straight route. When we say straight, we do not necessarily mean geographically straight. In Yiddish there's an expression, the Gleicher Weg, nicht der Krumme Weg. What we mean is with straight thinking. Many times we have calculations that with some crooked thinking we can manage better. See, the shortest route always is the straight route. And here we're referring to Tomim Tia Im Hashem Lekecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu says you should have trust in the Almighty. Trust me. All of the Chatoim, all of the great downfalls and sins which are found here, Loshon Hara, Dibas HaOretz, slandering Eretz Yisrael, Merida BaHashem uveMeisha Abdo, to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to rebel against Moshe, where they said, Nit Nareis Ben Meshuv Mitzrayim, let us make a new head and we will go back, we will impeach Moshe. All of these great sins, from the Chazal say, they all came because of the lack of emuna, of the faith that they had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Torah tells us here in Pasuk Yud Dalet, in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Va'ad ono lo yaminu bi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, for how long will you not believe in me? B'chol ha'eses asher osisi bikirbay. After all of these wonders which I have showed you, I told you it's a good land, I told you you will be able to conquer it. So why do you insist on seeing the land? And why do you insist on saying that you will not be able to conquer it? Because you do not trust me, you do not believe me. Ad ono, for how long will this nation lo yaminu be, not believed in me and not trusted me after all of the great wonders I have consistently showed them from the time that Moshe and Aaron first came to Paray. And this is what Rashi brings at the beginning of the Sedra. Shlach Lecho, that Moshe came to Hashem and Hashem said, send for yourselves spies. So he brings from the Medrash Rabbah, Ledaitecho, you send spies. I am not telling you to send spies. Ani eina matzavelecho. I'm not saying that you should send. I'm not commanding you. Im tirtze shlach, if you want, then send. Israel came to Moshe and they said, let us send out people that will spy out the land before we go into it. Moshe went to discuss this with the Shekhinah, with Hashem. Omar, so Hashem said, Ani amati lehem shiteba. What do you have to send people to look at the land for? I told you it's a good land. As many times it states, Aleschem me oni Mitzrayim, I will take you out of the affliction of Egypt and I'm going to give you a wonderful land. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not necessary. But if you want, then send. Shlach lecho. But you are sending. You people, not me. The Medrash tells us, the one that Rashi brings, Rabbi Shu, amen. Loma hoya daimin lamelech shiziman livnoi isha noya. A parable. There was a king who had a son, the prince. He was growing up and it was time for him to get married. So he went and he found a beautiful young lady for him. Ubas Tovi, from a wonderful family, Ba'ashira, and a wealthy family. Omale Amelech, Zumanti Lecho Isha Noya Ubas Tevim Ba'ashira. So the king tells his son, I found for you a beautiful, wonderful woman, wonderful family, wealthy family. And she will be your bride. Omele HaBen. So the son said, Eilech Ve'erais Oiso. I want to go and see her. Shelo Hoya Maimin Le'oviv. He didn't believe his father. Miyad Hukshadova Ve'era Le'oviv. This was very bad in the eyes of the father. Here I tell you who she is. I tell you all good things about her. And I went to great effort to find her for you. And now you say you want to see who she is. You don't trust me. So the father said, what should I do? He says, if I will say he cannot see her, he will say that it's because she's so ugly you don't want me to see her first. All right. So he says, all right, go see her. Beteda. Go see her and you'll see that I have not lied to you. But because you have not trusted in me, I take an oath, you will never see this woman in your house. But I will give her to your future son. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I gave you a beautiful land. And I am making it easy for you to conquer. And this is what I promise you. Now you come and you demand to see it first. And you demand to see what kind of armies there are there. And you don't trust me. All right, I'll show it to you. But on my word, you will never go to that land. Not you, but your children. So, first principle is tomim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. have trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, promises something, do it. That's the Gleichenweg. That's the Derech HaYosho. And that's the short way. You have better cheshbonos. You have better calculations. That's the crooked way. And a crooked way can make a short journey of one day into 40 years. Or where you might never reach that destination. It's the first principle. A second principle. Shlema Melech said, King Solomon said in Keheles, Perek Zayin, Posuk Tes Zayin, Atis Chacham Yoser. Do not be too wise. It's very good for a person to be wise, to use his mind and to use his seichel, but not too much. What did he mean? There's a gvul, there's a boundary. To a certain point, we are obligated to use our seichel. Beyond that point, we are obligated to rely on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Certain point, we have to think out things and choose for ourselves in accordance to our intellect what should be done and what should not be done. But from a certain point for onward, there we must say, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded, and no longer is it for me to decide. And if a person goes beyond that point with his own seichel, then he falls into the category which Shlema HaMelech mentioned, Atis Chacham Yoser. Don't be too wise. Because if a person becomes too wise, he might see things, or he might expose himself to things, or he might expose himself to situations which really he cannot handle. And this is what Rashi brings here, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe. He said, you want to send? Good. But Chayehem, I take an oath, Shani Nesin Lahem Mokom Litos, I will give them the opportunity to err. I will give them an opportunity now to fall. B'divrei Amaraglim, with the spies, Leman Lo Yiroshuha, in order that they should not inherit. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if you will trust me and you will not examine the land and not investigate, good. If you insist on investigating, I will show you things that will blow your minds. It's exactly what he told them. If you trust me and you don't make an investigation, you'll be able to handle it. No, but you are people with Balei Seichel. You have minds. It's not a, you want to see. You want to investigate. You want to see. You want to investigate. I'll give you things to see that your mind will not be able to handle. So they went and they saw. And they saw the Amalek there. And they saw the Hittim there. And they saw the Anakim there, the giants there. And they saw the great cities. And this destroyed them. And they brought back the report to the rest of the nation, and it destroyed the rest of the nation. Why? Because they were Tishacham Yosher. They wanted to see more than they should have seen. In other words, we are obligated to go, not closed eyes, obligated to open our eyes and to see. But Shlema HaMelech said, to a certain point, after that don't push further, because what you see can destroy you and work against you. You're obligated to be tischachem, obligated to become wise, but not nischachem yoser, but not too wise. At a certain point, when we go with chokhmah, and after that, we go with blind faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's a good land and you can conquer it. Had they accepted it then, they would have gone in the land and conquered it. They insisted on a whole process of tests, of investigations, of surveys, of military maneuvers, of reports, wanted everything. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, all right, but I'm not going to show you things that will destroy you. Chayecha, go see. But ani nesin lohem, lohem mokam litais. But I will give you plenty of opportunity where you will be destroyed with what you see. And they were. They came back horrified. Fortified cities up to the heavens. Gigantic people. Murderers. Ruthless. Consumes their inhabitants. And so forth and so on. This is what Shlomo HaMelech said. That a person should go with wisdom. But al tischachem yoser. But not too much wisdom. To a certain level, to a certain point, he goes with his wisdom. After that, he lets HaKadosh Baruch Hu do the thinking, and he listens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the second principle that we see from it. Now there's a third principle. This third principle is really a far greater principle than the others that we mentioned. And this is as follows. Really, we should ask a very, very great question here. An enormous kasha. We just finished detailing that from this business where they went, they insisted on sending spies into the land, came enormous historical ramifications of the death of the Meraglim, of the 40 years in the desert for everyone, of the death of that whole generation, and they were never zochu to go into Eretz Yisrael, of Tisha B'Av, the destructions of the first and second Mikdash, the long Goliath exiles, diaspora, and all of the tzoros which has come from the diasporas. If it's the Inquisition or the Crusades or the pogroms or the Holocaust, we can't even name them all, that all came because of the Golos Edom, because of the diaspora that we're in. And Klal Yisrael became scattered amongst all of the nations of the world. This all was Nimshach. This all came from this episode. Because Lulei Zeis, not for this episode, we would have gone immediately into Eretz Yisrael and we would have remained there forever. And there wouldn't have been the destructions of the Beis HaMikdash. So, we can ask a very, very strong question here. All of this could have easily been prevented by Hashem. He could have merely told Moshe when Moshe came and said, the people want to send in analysts to see what's going on there. He should have said, he could have said, Ein ani nesein lachem reshus. No, don't send. I do not give you permission to send. Finished. Moshe would have gone back to the people and said, Kodesh Baruch Hu said you can't send. And we would have saved the whole business. Very easy. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to go and say? Shlach lecho. You want to send, send. I'm not telling you to, but you can send. He should have merely said, No. Lay.
There would have been no meraglim. There would have been no death to the Dor HaMidbar. No 40 years in the desert. No Tisha B'Av. No Churban of the Bayis Rishay. No Churban of the Bayis Sheni. There would have been no Golus. No Inquisition. No Crusades. No pogroms. No Holocaust. Enormous kasha. The answer to this is, which is one of the greatest principles that we have, the Rambam calls it the Ikar HaGodl, the Yesod HaGodl, the Chol HaMitzvus, the Chol HaTeira. But unfortunately, it has difficulty penetrating the minds of popular thinking. And that's what our Chazal tell us. Molichin eso odem b'derech shereitze leilech. Habo letaher, mesayin esoy. Habo letame, peschin esoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides one in the direction which he himself wants to go. If someone wants to go to be metayer himself, someone wants to go after purity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. If someone wants to go after Habol Etame, if someone wants to go after impurity, if someone wants to walk on an evil road, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows him to. But he will not stop him. You want to do a mitzvah? You want to do something good? Not only will HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow you to do it, and even give you a little help. You want to do something bad, you want to do something evil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not stop you. He might not help you, but he will not stop you. Therefore, when Moshe came and said, the people want to send, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, basically, they want to do something evil. The halacha is, the law is, I have to open the door for them. I cannot stop them. Therefore, he was not able to say lay, not able to say no. Now, generally, most people understand the principle in a small context. Most people understand that if a person wants to take his money and throw it into the sea, he'll be able to do just that. Take his money and throw it into the sea. And most people understand that if a person wants to take his hand and put it in the fire, he'll be able to do just that. The fact is, we even see further. Heaven forbid, a person can damage himself severely. He can even take his own life. But what most people do not realize, that so much power was given to the human being that not only he has a power to destroy his possessions or to destroy his life, but power was given to the human being to destroy the world also. And it is not necessarily so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene and stop it. This sounds very far-fetched. Does it mean that you can have Mishagoyim go and try to destroy a world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't stop them. This is what is contrary to popular opinion. Popular opinion is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect me from all evil. And certainly he will protect Israel from any evil that will befall them. And I have faith, full faith in this. No evil will come to me. No evil certainly will come to Israel. This is popular thought. This type of thinking, besides the fact that it is the thinking which the Rambam and our sages refer to as Machshavas Tipshus, it is the thinking of the fools, but this is a kfira b'Torah. This is a denial of Torah and mitzvahs, and it's a Machshavas Achzorius, and it's ruthless thinking that brings korbanos, that will bring destructions to the world. Because Hashomayim, Shomayim LaHashem, Vaoretz Nosan Livnei Odom. Kodesh Baruch Hu is in the heavens, and He has given the earth into the hands of people. This we will explain. Rambam brings in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Hei, Rishus L'chol Odom Nesuna, permission was granted to every person. Im Rotze Lahate Satzme L'derech Tov L'yei Sadik HaRishus B'yodei, if he wants to walk the way of righteousness, permission is granted. Im Rotze Lahate Satzme L'derech Ro L'yei Srosho, if he wants to walk the way of the wicked, HaRishus B'yodei, permission is granted. This is what is written in the Torah, that I have made man like no other creature. But Lodas Tevora, where he can either do good or he can do evil. Min ze shel odom hu yochid ba'olam. This is the unique individualism of the human being. And there will be no one that will stop him from doing good or from doing evil. One should not think like the fools of the nations of the world, and even like the majority of the ignorant of Israel think. This is popular opinion. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees on a man which way he's going to go. Now, not at all, ain't a dover came. But if a person wants to become as righteous as Moshe Rabbeinu, then he's granted permission. He wants to become as evil as Yeravam, then he's also granted permission. And there is no one that will force him or gaze alone or decree on him or influence him which way to go, which will not be within his own power, the deciding factor. And this is what Yirmiyahu said, Mipi Elyon Leistetze Horo'os Ve'Hatev. When evil comes to the world, don't blame it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not coming from him. Evil comes from people. Therefore, when someone does something good, that's his, and reward is due to him. When someone does something evil, that's his, and punishment is due to him. Therefore, Dovaze Ikor Godl Hu Be'amorateva Mitzvah. This is the greatest principle and pillar of Torah mitzvahs. Because Ilo Akel Hayagezala Odom Liasadikoroshah, Because if we would say that Hashem would decree on a person what to do and what not to do. Now the Rambam says something very interesting here. He says that in his time, this was popular thought. It's interesting, because in our time this has become scientific thought also. The Rambam lived a long time ago. See? The Rambam says, or for example, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when someone would be born, biologically, genetically, he would place in him the tendencies and the traits which would lead him automatically either in a good way or an evil way. Kimei shebedi milibam hatipshim hevrei shemayim. Like the fools, he says, of our time believe. So then how could he command us to do mitzvahs? And how could he punish us when we do not do mitzvahs? Uma moko moye lechol ha-teira kula. And where would they be placed for Torah? Ube eze din ve eze mishpot nifra min arosha o mishalim socha l'tzadik. How could we extract punishment from the Rishoyim or reward to the righteous? Hashevet kol ores le'yaseh mishpat. The judge of the whole land is not going to pursue justice. Simple. The reason why I did this sin is because I was born with such a biology that gave me a predisposition to do this sin. And the reason why that fellow is so good, because he was born with genetics that automatically he has to do good. So where is bottled the whole mitzvah? The Rambam says the whole tainted mitzvah now you can throw out, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says if you do mitzvahs I reward you, if you do an aveira I punish you. Well, what's he got? He created us in one specific way or the other, so what kind of charge does he have against us? The Rambam says maybe you'll ask, how can there be such a thing that a person can do what he wants? He can build worlds or he can destroy worlds, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot intervene. This is a shortcoming in Hashem. We said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have permission to tell them no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything he wants. With such a philosophy, we're limiting the powers of Hashem. This is what the Rambam asks. He says, no, we're not limiting the powers of Hashem. He says, because this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does whatever he wants. And this is exactly what he wanted. Shayetze chofetz, just like Hashem wants it, there should be fire and gases that gravitate upwards, and water and earth that gravitate downwards. And he wants the sphere of the world to always turn. So did he want that there should be the unique individual of the human being who totally governs his own actions when it comes to the areas of good and evil. This is exactly what Hashem wanted. So therefore this is not limiting at all his powers. Therefore, Shlomo HaMelech said, Shmach bochor v'yaldesecho. Young man, rejoice. Person should rejoice because this world offers him enormous opportunities, because we are not glomim, we are not a galim, we are not zombies. If we choose to build, we can build, and it's ours, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward us for us because it's ours. And if we choose to destroy, it's also ours, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish us for it. Now, this is totally contrary to popular belief, but evidently even in the Rambam's time it was contrary to popular belief. And the Rambam refers to this popular belief as tipshus. It's total foolishness. It's without wisdom. And it's total kefirah. It's total denial of mitzvahs of Teiris Meisha. The Ramban brings the greatest principle of the Torah is that one has to believe that if he does mitzvahs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward him. If he does aveiros, he will have to pay for it. So the Ramban brings, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ne'amon L'shalem. You can trust me to pay my debts. But this philosophy, like the populace has, this denies all of that. So it's kfirah. And then we said further, it's axorius. It's a ruthless evil thinking. This the Rambam brings in Hilchis Tainus. In Perek Hei, in the beginning of Hilchis Tainus, the Rambam brings, says as follows. He says, Mitzvah Aseh, it's a positive commandment, last week's parsha we had a mitzvah of Chatzetzeres, a mitzvah of the trumpets. Whenever there was a tzora, whenever there was a great calamity, heaven forbid, war, plague, drought, famine, come upon the tzibur, heaven forbid, then it's a positive commandment to bring out the trumpets and to blow at the trumpets. He says, what was the purpose of this? He says, the purpose of this is in order that the people should realize Yedu HaKol Shebiglal Ma'aseim Aroim Heiralono, that this war, this plague, this disease, this drought, this famine is coming upon us because we are bringing it upon ourselves. It is our deeds. As it states, Avaneseichem Hitu, our Aveiros have caused this. Therefore we blow in the trumpets to awaken and remind us all of this, and therefore we can reverse our deeds, do tshuva, and in this way relieve ourselves from these calamities. Avalim Yizak, Yizaku v'le yorio, Avalim lo Yizaku v'le yorio. But what happens if in a time of a tzora we will not bring out the trumpets and we will not cry out to Hashem, but we will say, Mimino ga'elam yiralonu. This is like people today. Every day you read about calamities. There's wars all over the world. There's fichas domim. There's hurricanes. The Time magazine mentioned just recently that in America they had more calamities this past year than they can remember. Floods and hurricanes and bad weather and so forth and so on. So what is the public reaction? What's happening to the world? Something is going wrong. See? It's the it's the something. The sun is burning out. This is whatever it might be. If a people just accept this as in a matter of course. This is evil and wicked and ruthless. Because then they cleave to their same ways. Their ways are causing all of this. Meanwhile, they, instead of attributing it to their ways, they attribute it to false sources. So they carry on with their own ways. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then brings more tzoras, or their own ways brings more tzoras. B'teitziv ha-tzora tzoras acheres. So what's happening then? That because of this populist thought of tipshus, they continue in their ways to destroy more of the world. It was their ways that bring the destruction to begin with. And they refuse to recognize this. So they cleave to their same ways. which in turn will bring greater destruction. See, this is not an axodis. This is not a ruthlessness. And that's what it states in the Torah. Ba'alachtem imi bikeri, that when this happens, you walk with me as if all of these are merely natural disasters and they have nothing to do with you. Ba'alachti gam ani imochem bechamas keri, then I also will walk with, I will turn away from you. And heaven forbid, more will come. Now, if someone does not recognize this, actually what he comes to, this is a Gemara in Brochus. Gemara in Brochus brings, I forgot where it's brought in Brochus. He comes to be Meitzi Loshon Hora on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what we find today. Because people say, look, there's something wrong with the world. There's something wrong with nature. Nature is going haywire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world is not perfect. Or look at everything, all of the great disasters that Hashem brings upon the world. And really it's not. It's just to the contrary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a beautiful world and he created a perfect world. We have destroyed. We have brought this upon ourselves. Now, we're not saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never brings Xeris, he never brings decrees upon the person. That we're not saying. Moses says many times he will choose to bring decrees upon people. He has his cheshbeinus. But what we are saying, that it's within the power of the people, either the individual or of the many, that can bring decrees on themselves and on the world. And a further ramification. When someone doesn't believe in this principle, not only is it tipshus, and not only is it kefir betedes mesha, and not only is it axorius, but what will end up is he'll end up complaining severely against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and eventually leave him. He'll say that, look how much evil there is in God. Look what he does. Just look at the suffering in the world. How can he allow this? How can he bring so much suffering into the world? How can he allow wars to go on? How can he bring calamities? And because of that, you have many people that they have become kefirim, agnostics. And they came to deny the existence of Hashem. Well, in reality, it's like the Rambam says, Leiseitzeis mipi eldin leiseitzei roos. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come evil. He's not bringing it. Hashemayim shemayim lashem. Boris nasan livnei adam. He gave the world over to men a long time ago. Something wrong is going on in the world. That's because they're bringing it upon them. Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're blaming the wrong one. Now, people might feel, but how can we say this? How can we say that people have a power to bring havoc and destruction to a world? We don't have to look far. The Torah is full of it. For example, start right at the beginning of the Torah in Parshas Noach, the Mabul. The Mabul was the greatest calamity that ever came to the world. The great flood. Who brought the flood? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have to bring the flood, ki hishkis kol bosar es darkei al oretz. Because man has totally destroyed himself. Man has totally deviated from the ways of goodness. Man has become like an animal. Therefore, Nechamti, he says, I have to destroy the world that I brought. So, the Torah is telling us explicitly, it was the greatest calamity that came to the world. And it was caused by the hands of man. Maybe, how can it be? We said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow such a thing to happen. He will not allow that Sora to come. Was he not like that? He should have stopped man from deviating from the ways of the world, from becoming murderers, from becoming gangsters. Should have stopped man. Instead, he let man do what he wants until eventually man destroyed himself and the world too. This is what the Chazal tell us. This is the power he gave to man. Well, man can build worlds or he can destroy worlds. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have reshus, he doesn't have permission to interfere. Another example. The Gemara says, Alma Nechrav Habayis. What caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash? I'll tell you simply what caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. What caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash was Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came with his armies and destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Amal Chorev Bayis Sheni. What caused the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash? I'll tell you simply. Titus, who was the king of Edom, of Rome, he came and he burnt the second Beis HaMikdash. Alma Oza Ozvo Ha'oretz. What caused the loss of Eretz Yisrael? Alma Ozvo Yushalayim. What caused the loss of Yushalayim? I'll tell you simply. They were overrun by the armies of the Romans. The Gemara doesn't answer that. All of my answers, which I have just proposed, the Gemara ignores. Gemara says, what caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash? The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Machmas Gimel Averis, because of three Averis, Gil Arayish, Fichas Domim, Averis Ora, because of acts of adultery and incest, because of the shedding of innocent blood, and because idolatry. What do you mean? That didn't. It was the armies of the Babylonians. Second Beis HaMikdash, Alcinas Chinam. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the hatred between man and his fellow man. It's because of the armies of the Romans. The land was lost. The Gemara comes up with all kind of answers. Ashele Berach Birchas Atere Tchilo. They didn't first make a brocha on the Torah. Amar Ozvi Yushalayim. Why was Yushalayim lost? And it brings a half a dozen Averis. No, we know the story. We see it's not like that. And the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, brings from the Medrash Zeir that states that when Nebuchadnezzar and Titus came to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, Kamcho Tchina Tchina, they ground up wheat which was already grounded up. In other words, they could have never destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. How is it possible for these Rishoyim to have a hold on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Beis HaMikdash? We destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So it was only a shell. They came and they burnt the shell. Here we see the acts of man can destroy worlds. And on we could go like that. We see the same thing all that in our time. In our time, for example, we see man's greed has destroyed the world's resources and the world's environment. Everybody today talks about resources and environment, and they blame it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was man's greed. Everybody today talks about the inflation and the destruction of world economies. It was man's greed that did it. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about all the problems of health. Medical systems in the world are bankrupt. Man's lifestyle, there's smoking, there's drugs, there's alcohol, there's junk foods. Achilagasa kosher mikulin, the Gemara says. Overeating is the worst thing possible one can do for his health. There's AIDS. The health minister wants to know, how can we ever afford to cure AIDS? could have cured AIDS and wouldn't have cost you a penny. Keep HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, there wouldn't have been any AIDS. Not a penny. But man insists, I'm going against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs. And now he creates a problem that in the world billions and billions of dollars can't cure. Then they blame the situation on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. You have morals. We talk about the deterioration of the morals. We have our medias, we have our pornography, we have our networks. The universities insisted on mixed dormitories. Now we blame all of the problems that came out of there. We say, what's the world coming to? What kind of world is this that we're living in? And then, worst of all, we have the bloodshed. What kind of world can this be with so much bloodshed? So much bloodshed. Who's causing the bloodshed? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So much suffering. You got people that they kill themselves right, left, and center on the roads. Because they don't keep the laws of the roads. Criminals. And when we catch a criminal, what do we do with them? Leave them out in order to kill more people. We got wars. The greatest destroyer of the environment, the greatest destroyer of the resources, is war. It was published recently, I mentioned, because now it's 50 years since the end of the war, that Hitler was responsible for the death of 55 million people. Stalin was responsible for the death of 60 million. And another 25 to 50 million people were killed in war since then. You're talking about worlds. When we say Hitler, it's not correct. One man could not kill 55 million people under no circumstances. Rather, it was the 50, 60 million Germans that put Hitler into power and supported his every move. There was an article recently that saying that Hitler was a thug and he came into power like at some fringe party. They wrote, that is a nice piece of propaganda the German people would like you to think. Germany was a democratic society, and a thug from a fringe benefit doesn't become such a leader. He had the support of the majority, huge majority of the Germans, and of the elite and the intellectual of the Germans. So no one man can destroy 55 million people, but a nation of 50 or 60 million Germans might be able to do so. And then, even worse, nations love to go to war. We see wars all over. War doesn't only destroy, but war trains our best of the youth to become experts in murder, in assassinations, in dealing with sophisticated arms and explosives. There have been many, many surveys that have shown that the enormous amount of crimes created by people who are veterans of wars. Otherwise, how do they know how to use a gun? How do they know how to use explosives? The army are the best trainers for that. So we train consistently murderers. Not only do we train murderers, but we socially and psychologically train them to be murderers. That's what you have to do when you go to war. And then it develops an arms industry. You know, we're reading about all of these so-called small wars, Bosnia and Somalia and Rwanda and Ethiopia, all over, why all of a sudden these small wars are popping up? The answer is these small wars always existed. They always existed. But there was one difference. There used to be tribal feuds, and they would fight with bow and arrows or spears. And after 6 months of fighting, so there would be a few hundred or a few thousand killed. Now they're armed to the teeth by the West and the East, because the arms industry is the most lucrative industry in the world, either for financial reasons or political reasons. And they are given equipment that can shoot deadly bullets maybe 100 or 200 or 300 per second or per minute. And in what used to be a tribal feud, now becomes a war that in a month or two can kill a million. That's why it's making all of this impression in the world. Now, who's doing all of this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a friend from an old Yushalmi, brought up in Yushalayim in the days of the Irgun. So he told me, this was under the British mandate. He told me the British used to come to the Jews, and they used to say, look, you're fighting against the Arabs with Chetz equipment. It was a rifle that you shot one bullet, then you had to take it apart and load it with another bullet. He says, we will give you good equipment, automatic guns, which you can kill Arabs 100 times as much. Then they found out that the British, the same British, were going to the Arabs and telling them exactly the same thing. In other words, we'll arm you both to the teeth and go kill each other. This was politically advantageous for our British friends. Now, so much bloodshed in the world. What kind of world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu running? This is the acts of the people. Then we have the chutzpah to say, we have all of these sociologists and these other people, that the world is not capable of sustaining its population. The world was never meant to be for so many people, so we have to make population controls. After we destroy all of the resources on the world was never meant to be for such an amount of people. Now, in conclusion, Melichin es ha'odom b'derek shereitz aleilech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the person to walk in the way that they want to. Actually, the Midah Tova is Merubah. The good aspect is greater, because it states that when a person wants to do evil, you open the door for him. Kodesh Baruch Hu opens the door, but he doesn't help him. But a person wants to do good, states Messiah, he will help him. I feel that when it comes to mitzvahs, Torah, chesed, ma'asim tovim, good deeds, we should be very careful about using the expression Im Yetz Hashem, please God, Be'ezus Hashem, with the help of Hashem, B'syata Dishmaya. We should be very careful. It's become too hefker by people. What do you mean? You go do a mitzvah and you say Im Yetz Hashem, please God, if Hashem wills. What do you mean if Hashem wills? He's already told you on Sinai this is what he wants. On Sinai, he told us very clearly that this is exactly what he wants us to do. So here we go to a mitzvah and we say, if Hashem wants us. What do you mean, if Hashem wants us? What does it mean that I'm going to do a mitzvah, I'm going to do something good, and I say, I'll do it if Hashem will help me? Where's this Hashem? Or what does it mean that I'll go do a mitzvah and will say that Hakol toli b'syata d'shmaya? It's all dependent on the help of heaven. It conditions our minds to this philosophy that the Rambam is coming to say that this is Rev Golmi Yisrael, that even the majority of the ignorant of Israel believe in it. What does it mean that we will do a mitzvah if Hashem helps us? Shemaim, Shemaim, Lashem. Ores Nosan Livnei Odom. We will do a mitzvah, we should say, if we want to do it. If we will help ourselves, we will do a mitzvah. Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Moshe, and he said, Lech el Pare, go to Pare. Moshe said, go to the people. Moshe said, they won't believe me. Pare, he won't listen to me. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you go. I'll help. If Moshe would have refused to go, we would still be in Egypt. Don't think otherwise. He told Moshe, you go. You go do the mitzvah. You do what you have to do. Then I'll do what I have to do. But you have to do first what you have to do. When it came to putting up the Mishkan, Moshe said, I can't put up this Mishkan. The beams weighed who knows what. He says, no human being can lift up the beams. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you pick them up. When you pick them up, and you start, and you're trying to pick them up, then I'll do my part. But if you sit and do nothing, then the Mishkan would have never been built, and the Beis HaMikdash would have never been built. Malichin es ha'odem b'derek shereitze leilech. Mitzvahs will be done if I want them to be done. That's what a person has to say. Kodesh Baruch, we know he wants them to be done. He's already told us that. Mitzvahs will be done, a person has to say, if I will help myself to do a mitzvah, then they'll be done. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us. That's what he's promised. But if we will sit back and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us, no. It's like the Meraglim. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not intervene into what our area is. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz meyirei shamayim. Other things he'll intervene, but not when it comes to the decision of doing good or doing bad. This is why it states that there's a saying in English that the road to Gehenna is paved with good intentions. You got millions of good people with good intentions, but it never got further because there were too many Yemirtz Hashems and too many Be'ezus Hashems involved. See, if they would have forgot all about the Yemirtz Hashems and the Be'ezus Hashems and the Shatzir Ishmaels, and they would have turned their intentions into the acts of man, then they wouldn't have remained as good intentions and nothing would have come from them. But then there would have been action. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have got into the show. Because he says, Habole Tahir, if you go, then I'll help you. But if you won't go, then I won't help you. So this talk that it's all dependent on Siyata Dishmaya, this is what the Rambam is talking about. This is Reiv Gomi Yisrael. We talk and say, we don't have to worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. We see. We have to worry. If we do what we're supposed to do, then we can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. But otherwise not. This is the third principle. And this is a very, very important principle. That here we see that with one word, lay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have prevented the Meraglim and the greatest historical calamities that came from them. Yet so precious by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the free will of man that he will not intervene. Because had he intervened, that would destroy the free will of man and destroy the greatest creation that he made. This is a principle which is very, very important for us to remember.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@yGJ.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.